This is Henry Banks, producer and host of People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on the show tonight, my conversation with Miri Villiard, Arts and Cultural Programs Coordinator at the American Indian Community Housing Organization located in downtown Duluth. Miri shares information about an upcoming mural unveiling, the first of its kind, representing Native heritage citizens from Duluth. Also on the show, a conversation with Voltan. Voltan is the Los Angeles, California-based muralist who worked with other artists to create the large downtown mural in Duluth. All of this and more coming up next on People of Color after this news. Welcome to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Henry Banks. Thanks for joining us this evening. I am here with Miri Villiard. She is from the American Indian Community Housing Organization in Duluth. And I'm going to let her tell you what she does over there. A very exciting week in the Twin Ports. There's a beautiful experience happening in our community, in our region, and that's why Miri is here to talk about it. It's just a great thing. I'm so excited to be a part of sharing this information with our community. Miri, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you've been here before, so it's exciting every time you come here. It's awesome. It's an honor to talk to you. From way over here, but I'm very glad you're here. Tell our listeners about your role, your title at the American Indian Community Housing Organization, and what it is you actually do.
So my role is as the Arts and Cultural Program Coordinator, and I guess that job kind of allows me to work across programming to make sure that sort of that core idea in our mission statement about Indigenous values being incorporated in all of our work sort of takes place, and also kind of working alongside the different staff to develop really innovative ways to address all of the disparities that are affecting the Native American community and kind of the community at large too. And I also work a little bit at our domestic violence shelter, which has 13 beds, and I do kind of arts and cultural workshops there and do a little bit of advocacy. And then, basically program coordination, so helping a lot with the events that take place quite frequently.
So your job intersects all over the ACO, if I can say, family of organizations and activities.
Exactly, yep.
So there is this wonderful event coming up on Saturday, the 23rd. Why don't you take some time to talk about that and the importance of people showing up, participating, and seeing this happen?
Right. So on Saturday, September 23rd, we are hosting our mural unveiling ceremony. And if you've driven down West 2nd Street at all recently, you've probably noticed a giant mural that's popped up on the top of our building depicting an Indigenous woman with a bandana over her face, wearing a hat, and she has a jingle dress on. And essentially, this project is one that sort of grew out of a spontaneous request from Honor the Earth, where they were looking for a space to put a mural of an Indigenous person, and they had these connections with artists, Votan, Derek, and Leah, who are the main artists who worked on actually creating the artwork. And so they figured it was an appropriate space as the Duluth American Indian Center to have this depiction up there, and it's cool because it's kind of in the heart of downtown. And so we ended up bringing the artists here, and they expected to be painting for only about a week or so, and that ended up spanning into over a month because of the weather and because of just all sorts of logistical things. I thought the wall was going to be smaller than it actually was and things like that. And so, and the artists ended up collaborating with a lot of people from the community who would come up and bring food or just hang out and ask questions while they were working. So it was a very community engaged project, and now we're doing, we had a kind of a soft unveiling during the first week when we thought it was going to be done, and it turned out that it was just beginning that week. Mm-hmm. So I think a few news outlets were a little frustrated with us at that point. But this is the actual unveiling where people will get to go up onto the rooftop and get close with the mural, and also we'll be doing an honor song on the drum, or having a drum group do that, and then Winona LaDuke will be speaking. There'll be lots of food, lots of amazing people and artists and everybody.
So it is done. It's completed.
Yes.
It's ready to be unveiled to the whole entire region. So there are a lot of folks in Northwest Wisconsin who may want to participate in this very important ceremonial and unveiling of the first indigenous artwork of this type in the city of Duluth.
Right.
And what time does it start, and who can actually attend?
Yeah, so it goes from 6 to 9 p.m., and we'll be meeting in the Dr. Robert Paulus Cultural Center at 202 West 2nd Street. It's just our main building. And the event will be split up on the rooftop and in the Paulus Center, and we'll be taking kind of tours to the different spaces in our building too throughout that event, I believe.
Yeah, so how many, so you're going to be doing tours, so it'll be a group of 10 at a time or 15, or how do you have that laid out?
Depends a little bit on our the number of volunteers we have.
Oh, sure.
Giving tours.
Sure, sure. So you're excited about this, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So Voltan is originally from California.
Right.
And so he is actually making his way back to the Twin Ports. And so he's traveling right now. And we were hoping to have him on the show, but, you know, things happen. And it's wonderful, again, that you're here to talk about the mural. I know he's not here, but why the covering of the woman's face?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about why that was done?
Yeah. So I have kind of my personal understanding of it from talking with the artists, and then just my understanding of the history of face coverings and things like that. And I think it might actually be the most, possibly the most controversial portion of the image, because I think a lot of people, when they see any sort of face covering, they think it's gang related and the colors and everything like that, but it's not.
Right. So clarify what that is then.
Yeah. So from my understanding, Votan had taken sort of, it's referencing specifically two major indigenous movements that have taken place in recent history in the last few decades, and that is in 1994, there was a Zapatista movement that took place in Chiapas, Mexico, and that the symbolism behind the face coverings that the indigenous people wore in that movement was related to this idea that underneath the mask, we're all sort of human, and so there was this aspect of it. It came off as intimidating to people from the dominant culture, but in reality, it was really just like we're embracing that we're all different, but all sort of human, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the other movement it references is the Standing Rock movement, which is a lot in more recent history. And there were face coverings that you see a lot of the water protectors were wearing, whether it was to protect actually their faces from tear gas or I'm not sure the other symbolism associated with it, but it brings to mind those movements. And then finally, there's reference to the murdered and missing indigenous women epidemic we have in the region that still doesn't get talked about as much, but now I think in having a representation of an indigenous woman in a prominent space in our city, it at least will draw attention to that demographic and the existence of those women. And I know you see in social media people have like the sort of anonymous silhouette of an Indigenous woman. And so, again, the face covering goes back to sort of that anonymity of the identities of these women who go missing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for explaining that. So there is a very large billboard that is in front of the mural.
Yep.
Is there any move to have that removed from there?
I think I'm not entirely sure of the future of that billboard, but I've heard murmurs that we're looking to have something more representative of Indigenous people displayed on that billboard, so it can still be used as a space for advertising, but it would be related to Indigenous issues or something in the community.
Mm-hmm. I know there are ways of having that moved mm-hmm. entirely, because originally I was the founder, CEO, if you will, of the Clayton Jackson McGee Project.
Right.
And so there was a billboard on that site. And we worked with Lamar Outdoor Advertising to have that billboard moved. So that might be a conversation. I want to suggest that as a conversation, because I've talked to several people who have said, oh, the mural is beautiful. Are they going to move the billboard?
Right.
You know, so I get that all the time. Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that to you. I'm here with Mary Villiard. She is the Arts and Cultural Program Coordinator at the American Indian Community Housing Organization in Duluth. We're talking about this grand event that's coming up this weekend on the 23rd, the unveiling of this beautiful mural in downtown Duluth, the first mural of its type in the city of Duluth that is about the Native Heritage community, the very first one ever in Duluth, and that's exciting in and of itself. Mary, wondering, are there any special programs or events coming up that would engage school children in the mural and getting them to go up and view the mural or have some kind of lesson or opportunity to learn about it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know specifically, but we definitely, with this mural and the expansion of the rooftop space, we're hoping to open it up more to the public as a learning space, because the other plan for the rooftop is we're bringing our, so we got this grant from the Enterprise Foundation, which helped contribute to paying for the mural, and also to expanding a lot about our building related to climate change and cultural resilience. And so originally we had the gardens on the rooftop, and we brought those gardens to the back alleyway and created an entirely new garden space for the residents.
Beautiful space.
Yeah, for the community. And so that got moved down there because the rooftop needed to be renovated anyway. There was some inefficiency in how the original tile was up there. And then we're also getting a solar array put on top of the building. So that'll be right near the mural. And so in combining all that, then we'll bring once the roof is finished, we'll bring the urban garden back to the rooftop.
Oh, you're bringing it back to the rooftop. Very cool.
But then we'll start a new one in the alleyway again.
Uh-huh.
So there will be gardens everywhere in all the space that we can add it to. But that space, hopefully, will be more open to the community.
So let me ask you, okay, so those gardens, so the produce that comes from that goes back to the residents, or how do you do that?
Yeah, we have our children's program coordinator, Katie Hansen, is pretty incredible, and she's been kind of the lead on doing a lot of the garden programming at ACO. And she involves the kids that are living there in kind of like the growing and the harvesting of the food, and also the the preparation of the food, because we feed the residents every night a free dinner. And so we try and utilize that food whenever we can in our dinners, but we also, like, if there's crop that gets picked, we'll just leave it in the lobby, and people, residents can come down and take the food, or people from the community can also come in if they happen to be there and grab a fresh tomato and enjoy that.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
So there are other activities that take place in this American Indian Community Housing Organization and the Dr. Robert Paulus Cultural Center. That's a very busy cultural center. But you also have, I'm going to have you share other things that are going on, but I want to focus now on the Indigenous First Art and Gifts Store. Can you talk about that store and why it was established there?
Yeah, so through another grant, I think, that we got through the Northland Foundation, we are starting to develop. We have an off-site location that we're still developing into a coffee shop, gift shop, eco-laundry, and low-income housing like complex in West Duluth, or in Lincoln Park. And then we put some of this money towards starting the Indigenous First Gift Shop, which was our staff are, I consider all of our staff kind of magicians in their own way, because they can transform a space overnight into something that you would think had been there for the entirety of the building existence.
Sure.
And so this space was one of our old gallery spaces, and it got converted into a retail art space where people can purchase original prints, original art, wild rice, the medicines like sage, books from Native American authors, just about everything. You can also buy stuff from, so the group that did the mural is called Insurgents. That's Photon and the collective that does those sort of mural projects, and they're selling their merchandise there as well. And basically it came about because people, after our art, like the actual art openings, would come back throughout the week if they missed the show, and they'd come and look at the things on the wall, and then they would ask where they could purchase more of this artwork, or if they completely missed the show, they still want to see it. And typically we'd have to run back into storage and try and dig up stuff and figure out what they were talking about, but now we actually have this space where some of that overflow can go and be accessible to the public and also be available for people to purchase. So it benefits the artists a lot more than just storing
things. Oh, that's very cool. So I mentioned the Dr. Robert Paulus Cultural Center. All kinds of activities and events are held there. It's a very good-sized space.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this Friday.
Right.
You have a big event coming up with Annie Humphrey.
Right.
How are you doing this? talk to our listeners about Annie Humphrey, and I think there are going to be like two other bands or groups playing as well. Talk about that, please.
Yeah. So I believe this tour that Annie Humphrey has been going on is related to the sort of water protection and in protest of, you know, the pipelines and things like that. And so I think thematically a lot of her music from this this concert is going to relate back to that sort of environmental activism from an Indigenous perspective. And I'm pretty sure the other acts, I can't recall who they are, but they'll be doing something similar.
It's going to be quite an event. I know the cover charge is $20, but if people don't have funds,
Right. They
will not be turned away.
Right.
And I applaud you all for doing that. Annie Humphrey for being willing to do that as well. ACO is really changing lives. I've noticed it since they have opened the doors at the Robert Paulus Cultural Center and the American Indian Housing Community Housing Organization that I see changed lives.
Mm-hmm.
People have homes. Children have a place to be, And that makes a difference.
Right.
That makes a difference. And I know you talked about a new project for Lincoln Park. How's it going? I know those are big projects, and so you have to raise money and you have to do a variety of other things. How's that project going?
I think as soon as we get through this this Saturday's event, we're going to start focusing more on Lincoln Park. It's kind of I think everything that we do ends up being just one thing after another. But the hope is that we're going to get the coffee shop kind of, it'll be run independently from ACO, but it'll also be like a job training sort of program.
Oh, very good.
It'll be run by people who understand coffee a little bit better than the individual staff at ACO.
Sure, so. Sure. Very important to have job training opportunities available too for people.
Right.
So what else would you like to share about ACO? And if you want to give a shout out to any or all of the important staff people, every single one of them, of course. But if there's particular people you want to give a shout out to, because I know you all do some really marvelous work.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, if I start listing people, I'm going to start forgetting people. And
understood.
I'll list them back.
So all of them, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All of them. I want to thank Michelle LeBeau for her incredible leadership. Mm-hmm. And Ivy Vineo, I just want to mention her and her incredible leadership also.
Definitely.
I think those two individuals, and there are a lot more folks at ACO that are making positive differences, positive changes in the lives of so many wonderful and deserving people.
Right.
So your future, I know you work at ACO, and I know you enjoy that wonderful job that you have. What is the future of Mary Villiard as you want to, I'm thinking, expand your work at ACO?
Yeah.
You didn't expect that question,
did
right?
Did not expect that at all. I would say what I love about this job is that it is one of those jobs where every day I get to do something different. And so in that sort of environment, there's not a lot of room for, you know, planning specifically where I'm going to be in the organization, just because it's always, like, every day it's like stepping into a river and it's, you're in a different spot technically,
mm-hmm.
but...
Right, right.
And so, and that's what I love about it. And in all the work that I enjoy doing, that's my favorite type of work, I guess, is where I can just be creative and take risks and do different things for a cause of some sort, all kind of relating back to that big picture and the mission of the organization. So,
absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Before we close, I want to go back to the event coming up on the 23rd. If you could kind of reiterate the event and what it's all about. And again, who's welcome to participate?
Right. So the event is our mural unveiling ceremony. It'll be taking place at the Dr. Robert Paulus Cultural Center, which is just our main building on West 2nd Street. It'll be taking place from 6 to 9 p.m. We'll have the artists from Insurgents who created the mural on site. Winona LaDuke will be speaking. The mayor will actually be doing a proclamation of sorts. We'll have food, we'll have amazing people. Everybody is welcome to attend, and you'll get a chance to go onto our rooftop and actually sort of see the mural up close. And it's just really exciting. And when you think, I think maybe just one more key point to make about the mural is, at least that I've realized and that I think is significant, is when you come to Duluth as a visitor of sorts, or you come to this region, there's not really anything that would indicate, at least through public art or through any sort of public facade, that Indigenous people are here or were the original people of this space. And so I just think it's just incredible that you can drive down West 2nd Street now and see, like, this unapologetic, like, piece of artwork that depicts an Indigenous woman, a demographic that's just kind of been forgotten in a lot of mainstream narratives around here. And you can't really deny that presence so much anymore, because it's there, and it's there to stay, and it's beautiful, and it's all these things. So.
That is so awesome. It's so right and necessary. It's so long overdue.
Right.
It is such a beautiful piece of artwork, and I'm hoping that people from all over the region, Northwest Wisconsin, Northeast Minnesota, participate, come and meet people, come and break down barriers,
right,
and come and be a big family, because that's what we all are, a big family.
Right.
Mary Villiard, what an honor to have you back on the show again. You know, it's people like you, young people like yourself, who are making a difference in our community and in our world, and I thank you for that. Mary is the Arts and Cultural Program Coordinator at the American Indian Community Housing Organization in Duluth, Minnesota. Thank you for being on the show, and come back anytime. So I know that you are the artist for the ACO building, the Robert Paulus Cultural Center, and you created this beautiful mural recently, and it's going to be unveiled in the Twin Ports this weekend. So can you talk a little bit about your work and the mural that you did in Duluth?
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely. Well, basically, the piece came about through a collaboration with On the Earth, and they wanted to kind of, in a way, confront the building of the pipeline, Line 3, that's going on right now, but in a different way. So it was kind of clever that they wanted to use a mural instead of, you know, the traditional way of protecting and protesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we went back and forth with ideas, and we came up with that design of a woman representing a water protector, but also we linked it to the fact that Duluth is known for a lot of its human contraband of women, especially in Native women, when it comes to the murdered and missing Indigenous women. So we wanted to also tie that in, because with the pipelines, the man camps and all those things that come with it have an effect not just on the earth itself, but on the community as well, and mainly on our women, on the women, you know, from Indigenous communities. So we thought that we could tie all those things together, because those are issues and things that need to be addressed that really don't really aren't really spoken of, I should say.
Mm-hmm. So you're from California, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And so right now, I suppose you're heading back to the Twin Ports to be a part of the unveiling. So where are you right now?
Right now, we're in Laguna. We are in New Mexico, which is about 45 minutes west of Albuquerque. We're out here. My girlfriend, she's Pueblo, and she's from Laguna. She's also a Taos native, and we're out here, we're participating in a feast. We usually travel around the country making a living, you know, selling our artwork through prints. We print silkscreen, we do mugs. We have a brand, it's called Insurgents, and that's how we basically make a living. You're just going out from feast to feast, or sometimes from powwow to powwow, or just wholesaling our work.
So folks who are going to be listening to my show today, who are listening right now, for example, can you give your website and contact information? Because I want to be a part of helping to get your message out about your beautiful artwork and whatever I can do here.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Our website is www.insurgents.com. N as in Nancy, srgnts.com. We also have a Store Envy page, which is also nsrgnts.storeenvy, which is spelled storeenvy.com. And if people want to get a hold of us, like to do a mural or, you know, collaboration or just learn about the work that we do, they can contact me at my email is baalamik@gmail.com. And it reads out Balam Ik. So, yeah, they could contact me through that as well. So that'd be great.
That's really great. Your artwork is really beautiful. Where else do you have artwork of this type? You know, I know there are very large murals that you do. Where else can folks find your artwork?
We have several, actually, in Minnesota. There's the American Indian Center, which is in Minneapolis on Franklin. We have a huge mural there depicting two different indigenous people, one representing the creation story of the Dakota people, and we also have an Ojibwe woman representing the creation story of the Ojibwe people. We also have some murals at Little Earth, the Little Earth community, that's, you know, we wrote out Little Earth in letters and we did traditional patterns and we worked with the youth on that one there. And then I also have a mural out in Los Angeles in Indian Alley, which is adjacent to what used to be the Indian Center, the California Indian Center in the 70s and stuff. So there's a couple of other ones. There's been a couple of shops that I've done. One of my friends has a shop in Long Beach, and we have a piece there of Sitting Bull. And then we also have a huge wheat-paste image in Self-Help Graphics, which is in Boyle Heights. And we're actually going to do another mural at Self-Help Graphics in the next few weeks.
So you're very busy.
Yeah.
Very busy.
We recently got invited to go out to Ecuador to work with some indigenous communities there and kind of bridging, like, the ancient, prophecy that links the continent together. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's called the Eagle and the Condor Prophecy. So the South represents is represented by the condor, and the eagle is represented by the North. And basically what they say is that the eagle represents masculine energy traveling down south and feminine energy, the condor, coming up north. And it's interesting because a lot of those things have actually been happening if you were to kind of look into history of indigenous people. Like, for example, the Zapatistas and many of the leaders of the Zapatistas, which is the uprising that took place in Mexico, in southern Mexico, Chiapas, in 1994. A lot of the leaders were women. And even now, if you look at what happened in Standing Rock, there was a lot of women that were in charge of the main camps, like La Donna Brave Bull, and even Winona right now is spearheading Honor the Earth. So all those things are just manifesting, and that's basically what these communities down south want to represent with this mural that we're going to be working on.
I'm very excited for you. I know Winona LaDuke will be at the unveiling on Saturday as well.
Yeah, she will.
Yeah, so is there anything else you want to share with our listeners about Voltan as a person that you want to share, or say something to encourage people to come out and be a part of this incredible unveiling?
Yeah, definitely. If anybody would like to come and join us, and you know, one of the most important things about doing work like this is that there's issues that many communities face. Unfortunately, right now, indigenous people are facing some of the hardest conditions in many different ways, and I think that by creating art like this, it opens up dialogue and we can change things together, because we can't just do it ourselves as indigenous people. We have to reach out to other communities, and we all collectively have to change our reality. I mean, everybody's going to be affected by the things that are happening. You know, we have to change to be a better human race, especially because with the ways that things are going right now under the presidency, it's kind of unfortunate that there's so much division. So hopefully things like this will create more unity amongst the people. So it'd be great if people can come. You know, the doors will be open to anybody who wants to come and join in dialogue and understand and learn.
That's right.
So we expect anybody from any background, religion, sexual preference. It doesn't matter. It's about building, you know what I mean? Like, we need to build together because the country itself is very fractured right now.
It certainly is. And this mural, for me, brings so many opportunities to come together.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and for allowing us to spread the message a little further.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Voltan, and he is on his way to the Twin Ports for the unveiling of the beautiful mural that you see in downtown Duluth on the American Indian Community Housing Organization and Dr. Robert Paulus Cultural Center building. And it's an exciting time. We need each other to make the world a better place. Please come out to the event. It is this Saturday, the 23rd of September, starting at 6 p.m., and I believe it will go until about 9 p.m. in downtown Duluth. Lots of food, very much Native American cultural opportunities and experiences for all of us to learn and come together.
Sacred fires lifted up like holy hands. Understand there's something wrong. There's trouble on the land. Crystal furrows, hungry eyes, conquistadors, golden lies. So many ways to steal the prize. Who cares if one more native dies? King's decree across the waves and Kamiendo makes us slaves. The Holy Church, the blood that saves 100 million unmarked graves. Our relatives are watching our genocide. Who's left to hear? Who's left to hear? Sacred Pueblos, Cupola Gold, Jamestown, Raleigh, Roanoke, Manhattan Quakers and Hudson's Bay, Beaver, Otter, all killed away. Louisiana to Duluth, Venus bearing the white man's truth. Northwest Passage, empty ploy, Franklin studies Iroquois. Tuberculosis and influenza, typhoid fever, nations ended. Corpses more than many wars, typhus, measles, millions more. Cholera on many fronts, smallpox blankets more than once. Plagues destroy your strength and pride. Biologic genocide. Our relatives are watching our spirit helpers near. 500 years of genocide. Who's left to hear? Water and crazy horse liquor, Indian givers who take back quicker. Redskins, Braves, the Fighting Sioux, Eskimo pies and red man tobacco. A billion insults to the math. When we object, we're on the war path. Struggles with racist laws.
Turn the bones, let us live, return all.
some things haven't changed at all. Resistance standing strong and tall. Like the red oak leaves, we remain to snap the links that formed our chain.
Sometimes she can cry.
drop her sadness into the bread she fries. I know a woman, Indian in her eyes, full blood in her heart, full blood when she cries. Well, she can't be afraid, sometimes she can shake, but her medicine will never let her break. She'll want a warrior, and she don't want no brave. She don't want a renegade headed for an early grave. She don't need no stolen horse, she don't need no stolen heart. She'll need an Indian man falling down and falling apart. She's out there waiting, no matter.